as they say, is the BBC, who are tickled to bits to bring to thee Marriott's monologues. Funny and clean, the best monologue writer that there's ever been. So listen and laugh. Join in. Take part in Marriott Edgar's Works of Art.
We present Marriott's Monologues, the monologues of Marriott Edgar. Accompanied on the piano by Brian Fitzgerald, here is this week's monologist, Roy Castle, with Goalkeeper Joe.
Joe Dunn were a bobby for football. He gave all his time to that sport. He played for the West Wigan Whippets on days when they turned out one short. He'd been member at club for 3 seasons and had grumbled again and again because he found all the time as they used him were when it were pouring with rain. He felt as his talents were wasted when each week his job seemed to be nobbut minding the clothes for the others and chucking clods at referee. So next time selection committee came round to ask him for his sub, he told them if they didn't play him, he'd transfer to some other club. Committee they coaxed and cajoled him, but found he'd have none of their shifts. So they promised to play him next weekend in a match against Dodmorden and Swifts. This match were the plum of the season, an annual fixture it stood. 'Twere reckoned as good as a cup tie by them as like plenty of blood. The day of the match dawned in splendour. A beautiful morning it were, with a fog drifting up from the brickfields and a drizzle of rain in the air. The Whippets made Joe their goalkeeper, a thing as weren't wanted at all, for they knew that once battle had started, they'd have no time to mess with the ball. Joe stood by the goalposts and shivered, while the fog round his legs seemed to creep, till feeling neglected and lonely, he leant back and went fast asleep. He dreamt he were playing at Wembley, and to the roar of a thundering cheer, he were kicking a goal for the Whippets, when he woke with a clout in his ear. He found with a ball that had struck him, and inside the net, there it lay. But as no one had seen this here happen, he punted it back into play. 'Twere the first ball he punted in anger, his feelings he couldn't restrain, forgetting as he were goalkeeper. He ran out and kicked it again. Then after the ball, like a rabbit, he rushed down the field full of pride. He reckoned if nobody stopped him, there'd happen he'd score for his side. Halfway down, he bumped into his captain, who weren't going to let him go by. But Joe, like Horatio Nelson, put a fist to the captain's blind eye. On he went till the goal lay before him, then stopping to get himself set, he steadied the ball, then kicked it, and landed it right in the net. The fog seemed to lift at that moment, and all eyes were turned on the lad. The Whippets seemed kind of dumbfounded, while the Swifts started cheering like mad. for his own goal as he kicked the ball through. He'd scored for his foes, Guinea's friends. For he'd slept through the referee's whistle. And at half-time, he hadn't changed ends. Joe's transferred from the West Wigan Whippets to the Todd Morden Swifts, where you'll see him minding their clothes for the others and chucking clods at referee. Oh, I've never really heard that one before. That's one of Marriott Edgar's ones that's eluded me, and it's a beauty. It's a real beauty, so typical. It brings back so many memories for me, because I was a little goalkeeper just like that. I was no good. Nobody wanted me really to play. When you picked sides, I was always the last one to be picked. And then they slung me in goal. But there were no goalposts, of course, in those days. You just used to put your Mac down or anything, your school satchel. That was the goalpost. And many arguments as to whether it was inside or outside. But I mean, it was so typical and so funny. The most difficult thing about doing a Marriott Edgar poem or monologue is not to laugh, because it's timeless. Timeless. This must have been written, I don't know how many years ago, and yet it's relevant, and it's very funny. The phrasing is so typical that I've had to learn how to try and speak a little bit better, but this phrasing is exactly where I was born. Where you say, "Nay, thou mayn't do that, thou knows," means you'd better not do that, of course. And where you say, "Nay, I'll say no to that, I'll say no on it," that means you're not going to have any part of it whatsoever. And it's all down here. It's beautiful stuff. And I remember doing the concerts at the Sunday school, and one of our preachers always used to do monologues. He loved them. He was very good at it as well. And bring out Lion and Albert. That was the one. He used to have a go at that one, the Lion and Albert. And the funny thing later was, when we went to Blackpool, I insisted on going to the zoo, because I wanted to see this lion, but I stood well away from it, I can promise you that. There's another aspect to these monologues as well that brings them all to life, and that's this beautiful piano playing by Brian Fitzgerald. I mean, that's so funny too. That also makes you want to giggle. Very difficult to not laugh when you put some of those bits in there, but it is lovely, and the two go along so well, hand in glove. These lovely monologues and that beautiful piano playing. Thanks, Brian. Well, having said that I wasn't familiar with goalkeeper Joe, here's one that I am a little more familiar with. And I'm going to give you a history lesson now with the help of Mr. Marriott Edgar. And I'd like to just tell you about the Magna Carta. I'll tell of the Magna Carta as we're signed at the Baron's command on Runningmead Island in middle of the Thames by King John in his spidery hand. Some say it were wrong of the barons, their will on the king so to thrust. But you'll see, if you look at both sides of the case, that they had to do something or bust. For John, from the moment they crowned him, started acting so cunning and sly. Being king, of course, he couldn't do any wrong. But by gum, he'd a proper good try. He squandered the ratepayers' money. All their cattle and corn did he take, till there wasn't a morsel of bread in the land, and folk had to manage on cake. The way he behaved to young Arthur went to show as his feelings were bad. He tried to get Hilbert to poke out his eyes, which is no way to treat a young lad. It were all right him being a tyrant to vassals and folk of that class, but he tried on his tricks with the barons and all, and that's where he made a fox pie. He started bombarding their castles and burning them over their head, till there wasn't enough castles left to go round. And they had to sleep six in a bed. So they went to the king in a body, and their spokesman, Fitzwalter by name, he opened the hole in his helmet and said, conciliatory-like, "What's the game?" The king starts to shilly and shally. He sits and he hoes and he hums, till the barons in rage started gnashing their teeth, and then with no teeth gnashed their gums. Said Fitz through the hole in his helmet, "It was you as put us in this plight." And the king, having nothing to say to this here, murmured,
"Leave your address and I'll write."
This angered the gallant Fitzwalter. He stamped on the floor with his foot, and was starting to give John a rare ticking off, when the hole in his helmet fell shut. "We'll get him a Magna Charta," said Fitz, when his face he had freed. Said the barons, "That's right, and if one's not enough, get a couple, and happen they'll breed." So they set about making a charter. When it finished, they got it drawn up. It looked like a paper on cattle disease, or Fentress for Waterloo Cup. Next day, King John, all unsuspecting, and having the afternoon free, to Running Reed Island had taken a boat, and were having some shrimps for his tea. He had just pulled the head off a big un, and were pinching its tail with his thumb, when up came a barge load of barons who said, "With all your beer, so we've come." When they told him they brought Magna Charta, the king seemed to go kind of limp, but minding his manners, he took off his hat and said,
"Thanks very much, have a shrimp."
"You'd best sign at once," said Fitzwalter. "If you don't, I'll tell thee for a start. The next coronation will happen quite soon, and you won't be there to take part." So they spread charter out on tea table, and John signed his name like a lamb. His writing in places was sticky and thick, through dipping his pen in the jam. And it's through that there Magna Charta, as were signed by the barons of old, that in England today we can do what we like, so long as we do what we're told.
Brought you Goalkeeper Joe and the Magna Charta by Marriott Edgar. Piano accompaniment was by Brian Fitzgerald. Marriott's Monologues is produced in Manchester by Mike Craig.